there, I'm Adrian Eames. This is the RT Soccer Podcast. We've got so much to chat about today, and we'll do some in the company of Paul Curry, Carl Shepherd, and also Lisa Fallon will be joining us. And as ever, like a bad penny, he's here. James O'Toole. What's up, James?
Thanks very much, Adrian. Something like a positive intro just like that one. Thanks very much.
Okay, what's your big takeaway from the weekend? We will, of course, be chatting about Ireland-Serbia and the start of the World Cup qualifiers for the Republic of Ireland in due course. But in terms of the League of Ireland, the start, it was a strange old weekend, James.
It was a strange weekend, Adrian. I think the takeaway is that it's going to be a very, very competitive league. I don't think it's going to be a runaway league like we and most other people thought. I thought the two teams that come up from the first division last year, Longford and Drogheda, both winning, was great for them and great for the league as well. And Finn Harps obviously getting off to a good start as well. So, yeah, I think that's the takeaway. I think this is going to be a very, very competitive league straight from the get-go.
Okay, not one of the top seven from last season won at the weekend, but the two promoted sides, Drogheda and Longford, did, as well as Finn Harps, as you mentioned. So, very, very intriguing opening weekend. We're going to hear from all of the camps involved over the course of the weekend. But let's start with that terrific win for Longford Town. Hugely disappointing, of course, for Derry City at Bishopsgate. Longford winning by 2-0. Dylan Grimes and Joe Gorman with the goals in either half. We'll hear from both managers, Declan Devine, very shortly. But first, Longford's Dara Doyle.
Really, really positive start for us. An excellent performance. Started each half really well and continued it on in each half. And I think if you look back on the game, no one would have begrudged us maybe getting an extra goal or two. They had their chances from set pieces, from long throw-ins and corner kicks in particular, but we dealt with them very well and played some really good stuff, but worked really, really hard as a team to control the game for large parts of the game. You look possibly at the last couple of minutes of the game where they were looking to go longer and more direct, and we did have to drop into a shape where we had to deal with the longer ball, and again, we did that well and they didn't create any chances from it. So overall, delighted with the first game back in the Premier, and to come away with a 2-0 victory against Derry, it's brilliant for us, and it'll stand us in good stead now that we know that we can compete and challenge at this level, and we know what's expected and required in our upcoming games.
Poor start on our behalf. We knew the quality that they possessed and the intensity they were going to come at us with, but we didn't come out. Bitterly disappointed we didn't get up to speed as quick as we should have done. A wake-up call for us now that we've 2 weeks, I think our Rovers game will be off. It gives us a bit of time now to get on the training pitch and strive to get better.
That's Declan Devine, the thoughts of the panel very shortly. But let's continue our review of the weekend in terms of reaction. On Saturday night, Sligo Rovers and Dundalk went head-to-head at the Showgrounds. 1-1 it finished. Patrick McElhenney gave Dundalk the lead early on, but Sligo recovered moments later. Romeo Parks heading in on his return to the Showgrounds. Here's the Sligo Rovers manager, Liam Buckley.
I thought everybody's put in the shift. They've all worked hard. Like, if they put in the same shift every week, we'll do okay, that's for sure. Delighted with the new lads that have come in, especially the likes of young Johnny. It's come in, Jomar Bourne has also come in. You know, they've both done really well. They're both top players, and they will get better as their career unfolds. But looking at the group as well, with the new lads in, I was happy enough with the way we're blending. We'll get that better, and hopefully we can push on.
That's Liam Buckley. Reflections now from the Dundalk manager, Shane Keegan.
Frustration and at the same time a little bit of relief the way things finished. It was a game that kept swinging to and fro. I mean, for the first half of the first half, we thought it was all us, and then we've allowed them into it in the second half of that first half. And pretty much the second half has been a repeat. You know, twice we felt we had a serious head of steam up, and I thought we could have kicked on both occasions, and instead on both occasions we've allowed them completely back into the game. And to be fair, there's no doubt towards the end, you know, we've got a little bit lucky in terms of the keeper making one or two great saves for us, so it's a frustration, yeah.
Up the road from the Showgrounds in Finn Park, Ballybuffet, an Adam Foley goal on 38 minutes proved to be the match winner as Finn Harps opened their season with a 1-0 win over Bohemians. This the reaction of the Finn Harps manager, Ollie Horgan.
We need to take whatever the scraps we get. Wasn't a pretty game by any means, suppose physically and football-wise, or a smashing side. Caught us a little bit with the shape of the play at the start. It took us a while to adjust it. I'm not saying that's why we were a slow start. Both started way ahead of us. They looked like a team that were right in the middle of the season. We looked like a team that was pre-season. But we rather look, we weathered the storm and we got a good result. But I don't think 3 points will keep you in the division. We need to accumulate a hell of a lot more to try and stay in this.
Difficult place to come, Finn Harps. They make it difficult for you here. I'm not quite sure how we haven't got something out of the game, whether we've done enough to get the 3 points. I felt certainly we've done enough to get a point from the game. We missed some some golden opportunities. Possibly could have got a penalty as well, maybe even two. But so I'm not quite sure how we haven't got something from the game. It's a difficult place, like I said, to come to, and we just didn't quite do enough.
Well, the season started for Shamrock Rovers on Friday night with a 1-1 draw with St. Pat's at Tallaght Stadium. Pat scored through a deflected Robbie Benson cross, but Shamrock Rovers levelled within 2 minutes. Both goals scored late on. Aaron Green rising high to head in a Sean Hoare cross. We can hear from both camps. Lee Desmond was named man of the match afterwards.
We knew we were going to come here and there was going to be times where they had a lot of the ball and they're going to have good chances because they're league champions, but I have to say, it's probably the most positive, and I've had the most belief coming up here for the first time since probably 2015. It's disappointing not to win. Maybe it'll be a good point, but at the minute, it just feels like we should have won the game after scoring so late ourselves.
We knew it was going to be a tough game. I thought it was a very even game in the end, and the substitutions were always going to have an impact.
It was quite a tactical game, very, very niggly in the start as well. Referees seemed to be very quick with the yellow cards.
Yeah, but it is first game. It is a Dublin derby. You have to understand that it's going to be really intense and scrappy at times. That's this league, and that's a Dublin derby first game. That's the way it is.
That's Stephen Bradley, the Shamrock Rovers manager. And before that, Lee Desmond, the Pats defender, who was named man of the match. Drogheda United made a winning return to the top flight with a 1-0 victory at home to Waterford. Cameron Evans turned in James Brown's cross into his own net for the only goal of the game. So a great start for the newly promoted Drogheda United side and their manager, Tim Clancy. We'll hear from him and also from the Waterford boss, Kevin Sheedy. But first, Tim Clancy.
On the balance of things, I think that we were probably the better team in regards to the chances we created. When it gets that late in the game, Waterford will feel disappointed in not getting a result. It's a sore one to take with the goal they conceded as well and the manner in which they did late on. But listen, we're delighted we kept pushing, and it's a brilliant start for us.
Yes, very disappointing. I feel the lads worked extremely hard, and it was a real tight game. We felt we could win the game in the end, but we conceded an own goal late on in the game. So as I say, desperately disappointed. The players have given their all, and we can't ask any more.
It was your introduction to League of Ireland football. What did you make of it?
Yeah, very competitive, which I knew it was going to be. Both teams, played 100%. So, looking forward to the challenge ahead. But as I say, we put this group of young players and a really young squad together. So it's going to take time for everyone to gel. Most of them have only played together for the second time. So, really, really pleased with the overall performance and the way that they went about the business.
Well, that's the reaction there of the Waterford manager, Kevin Sheedy, after that defeat to Drogheda in Drogheda at the weekend. So then, we're joined by Paul Curry and also by Carl Shepherd. Carl, you were on the podcast last week. What did you make overall of the opening weekend of the Premier Division season?
Yeah, look, I thought it was certainly we didn't get our calls right last week anyway on who we thought was going to win. I thought it was fascinating to see all the new teams coming up doing so well. And I suppose, look, when you're saying that Dundalk Rovers, they haven't won, I suppose it's a big shock. So, I thought there was plenty of great football to be played and plenty of shocks as usual in the first week. And I think that usually the first week is like that. It's a bit helter-skelter and players are possibly playing above their levels as they're running on high adrenaline and they're very motivated. And I think we'll probably see a bit of normality in the next week or so.
Paul, your thoughts on the weekend?
Yeah, similar enough. Like there seems to be so much change within squads and it's hard to know where teams are really at or what level they're at come the opening game. So I guess similar to Shep, I was probably a bit surprised that Shamrock Rovers didn't pick up 3 points, but then not surprised in another sense because they've lost two of their main players from the last year. I think with the others, you're looking at Dundalk and you're kind of waiting to see how the new signings fit in, and then you're looking to Bowes and Pats as probably the next two and seeing how, I guess, they're going to materialise as well. Like Bowes, you have to remember, have lost their front three from last year that were so important to them. And Pats under Stevie O'Donnell, you're looking at, he's 12 months in now. Next season, this season is going to be, I guess, more of a litmus test to see where they're at. So I guess to echo what Shep said, it's hard to know. It's hard to know where teams are at. It's hard to know what sort of pre-season they've got under their belt. And it's probably only in week 3, 4 and 5 where you maybe start to see a bit of shape taking place. But super wins for Longford and Drogheda, I have to point them out too.
Yeah, absolutely, James, because, you know, we chatted on the podcast last week with predictions and whatnot, and most on the podcast have Longford and Drogheda to be there or thereabouts when it comes to the relegation fight. But it's a great start for both managers, for Tim Clancy of Drogheda and also for Darragh Doyle of Longford, to get a win under your belt in the opening match of the season. They'll both hope to build on that, but it sets the tone. So, brilliant start. But from your perspective, James, Derry, discuss.
Well, I did. Where do I start? It was the one prediction I got right last week anyway. So we'll take that. We'll take that as a win. Just a very, very poor game. Exactly where they left off last year. Very, very poor away from home. Longford came out of the traps really well. Put them under pressure. And I think Derry maybe had one shot on target for the entire game. And Longford could have actually won by more than two. It doesn't help when you start your season with the 11 people on the pitch and four of them playing out of position. That's not really a good way to start the season. But in fairness to Darragh Doyle and the Longford team, they were well up for it and they deserved the victory that they got.
And kudos as well, Carl, to Drogheda United for their victory over Waterford. We heard Kevin Sheedy there a few moments ago saying that it's going to take time for his side to gel so many new players. I guess that's the way for so many teams. There are lots of new players in every team, but Waterford is very much a clean slate there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And to be honest, it's probably very worrying for Waterford fans just on going on how the game went. I thought Drogheda pretty much dominated the game from start to finish. I thought Ronan Murray, Markey and Deegan looked fantastically well. They're interlinking brilliantly. But for me, on the Waterford front, it was something that I touched on last week when I said it might take them a long time to gel. And I suppose you're bringing in all them loan signings. You don't know if they will click. And the problem is that for Waterford, it tends to be they either hit the ground running and they're up at the top or else they take a long time to gel. And for me this year, it's just, I think this might be the year where it catches up on them. As looking at the game, I didn't see many positives for them to take out of it.
As we mentioned there a few moments ago, Paul, we were, you know, on the podcast last week making predictions about the season ahead. How do you see Finn Harps in terms of 2021? Because obviously last year, and indeed for the previous few years, they've been fighting an almost annual battle with relegation. Do you think that Ollie has enough about him in terms of the squad he now has to avoid that kind of scenario this year?
Doesn't sound like those predictions went too well last week, Adrian.
Didn't. I got them all wrong. James was quick to point that out.
Nah. I think Finn Harps will be okay. I really do. I think they've kept kind of the core group of players together that steered them to safety last year. And I think when you look at the division, I can certainly see three teams. I think Waterford, Longford and Drogheda will all finish below Finn Harps. And you would, I know Ollie Horgan would like to think that it probably won't be as much of a slog this year as it has been in previous years. But just at a glance, anyway, I certainly see three teams that I believe they'll finish above. I think Longford and Drogheda are going to struggle simply based on the fact that they're new to the league and the size of their squads and just getting used to Premier Division football. It's a different test. And then Waterford just... it just doesn't look good. I could see a situation where maybe they bring in an influx of players in the June or July window, and that might help them to kind of push up the table. But the early signs don't look good. But for Finn Harps and for Ollie Horgan, this might be the season where he might be able to look maybe a little further up the table as opposed to looking over their shoulder at relegation.
Ollie certainly won't be saying that out loud, though, Paul, as in typical Ollie fashion after the game, he was saying he was very lucky and that Bowes dominated the game from start to finish, which is, I suppose, very typical of Ollie. And he'll definitely be saying that to his players. We're very much in a scrap and it's going to take a lot more than what we did against Bowes to keep us up. And I suppose that's what makes Ollie Horgan so great.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, he was actually nearly angry after the game, and he was chatting to Stephen Alkin. He was talking about Bowes could have had two penalties and what have you. So I'd imagine in that dressing room he wasn't giving them big heads by any stretch of the imagination. He's some character, as we know, James. But you know, from a Bowes perspective, that setback, look, as the lads have referred to, it's only one game in for each side, so you can't read too much into it. But given that Carl Shepherd last week predicted that Bowes would win the title, that's already looking dodgy. But in terms of Bowes, I mean, they could have won it. I mean, Keith Long said afterwards that they had so many chances to win it, but that's to take nothing away from Finn Harps.
Yeah, they have a fair few chances to win the game, especially in the second half. There was a couple of really, really good saves to stop them from winning it. But it just seems to be, like, as Carol was saying, this first game, the pitch in Finn Park looked really, really well, by the way, I have to say. I've never said that before. Let's mark that down as the first that's ever been said. The pitch seemed to be playing really, really well. But they just seem to have little lapses of concentration. For the goal that Finn Harp scored, it was a lapse in concentration there to let the goal in. And then in the second half as well, there's a chance that they almost gift up a second goal from fairly similar lack of communication between defender and goalkeeper, and Finn Harp's always nip in. So Keith wouldn't have been happy from that point of view. They did create a lot of chances, which is something that he can probably say that's the positive to come from it. But losing away to Harps on your first day, not a great way to start off the league. And as Ollie mentioned themselves, like, listen, it's only 3 points. You don't save from relegation on 3 points. As Carl's mentioned, typical Ollie Horgan.
And at the Showgrounds, Carl had finished 1-1 between Sligo Rovers and Dundalk. Sligo Rovers giving a competitive debut to Johnny Kenny, and he certainly appeared to have acquitted himself very well. He was very impressive. Romeo Park scoring on his return. Dundalk, for their part, just settling in, and they got a great start with that goal from Patrick McElhenney, which was really gifted to them by Ed McGuinty. But honours even, fair result. I know Sligo were quibbling over what looked to be an onside finish from young Mark Byrne that was ruled out for offside, but Sligo certainly finished that game very strongly.
Yeah, they did. I'd probably say it was a fair result overall. However, Sligo will be coming away thinking they deserved all three with how they finished. They finished the game really strong. And as you said, young Johnny Kenny, he's almost exploded on the scene. And the last 20 minutes of that game, you'd be looking at it going, he's the most dangerous player on this pitch. And to think that he's only 17 is frightening. So it's certainly looking bright for Sligo. And you look at their midfield, they have Greg Bulger and Monaghan in there. And you go through their team, they really, really could, I suppose, be up there into the race for top four this year if they keep their starting 11, I suppose, fit and stay injury free. But in terms of Dundalk, it's going to be a tough season for them, I believe, as Ravis is coming in right back and right wing back, and it's a huge task to replace Sean Gannon and even the left wing back. You're talking about replacing Dane Massey and even Gary Rogers as well. These aren't just players, they were leaders in the dressing room. And I firmly believe that in games like that, when it's 1-1 away at Sligo, it's leaders that pull you through the game. And for me, I was looking at it, the game almost got away from them the longer it went on, and we wouldn't have seen that happen to Dundalk of old.
What are you expecting of Dundalk, Paul, this season, given the change, and, you know, Shane Keegan now being called manager, Filippo Givagnoli, well, on the face of it, taking more of a backseat role, but he was very much to the fore out of the dugout on Saturday night. But what do you think they can achieve this year?
I still think they'll be there or thereabouts. You know, when you look at the squads around the league, they certainly have a core group of players that are going to be good enough to win the majority of games. They're full-time. They've got good players within their squad. I think Mickey Duffy coming back to full fitness will be huge for them. I think there's enough goals within himself and Patrick Hooban, Dave McMillan, Patrick McElhenney that will see them win enough games. But whether or not they're good enough to go on and win the league, it's probably too early to call. I think you just have to wait and see how the likes of a Sonny Nadestad or the Ravis at right wing back, how these players are going to adjust and what sort of level they're at, because we've only seen them really in the President's Cup final and that game against Sligo. So it's still very early in order to get a fair assessment on those players. But I think when you compare their squad to the other squads in the league, I think they're head and shoulders above the majority of them. And I don't really see it being too much different than what we've seen in the past 2 years where Rovers and Dundalk go at us. My initial feeling was probably similar to Shep's with Bowes. I thought Bowes could really push on, but I think goals is going to be a problem for them. So for Dundalk, I still think they'll be thereabouts with regards to coming to the end of the season and being in contention for major trophies.
Okay, all right. We'll come back to the First Division, of course, which starts this weekend, and also touch on the Women's National League. But let's turn our focus now to the big international match of the week. Ireland, of course, with a double header coming up. It's Serbia in Belgrade on Wednesday night to kickstart the World Cup qualifying campaign, followed by Luxembourg at home in Dublin on Saturday and then a friendly next week against Qatar. But Ireland against Serbia is the big one. It's live on Game On 2FM on Wednesday evening, also on RTÉ2 television. We're joined on the line by Lisa Follin. We'll also get the thoughts of Paul and Carl on the task in hand for Stephen Kenny. How are you doing, Lisa?
Yeah, really good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Stephen Kenny, I mean, the hand he's been dealt with in terms of the start of the campaign. No Darren Randolph, Kevin Kelleher not available, John Egan, McCarthy, Ida, Jack Byrne, Kevin Long, Conor Harran, Callum O'Dowda. The list goes on. And doubts as well over Aaron Connolly and James McLean in terms of their fitness. He has spoken, Stephen, in the past about, you know, implementing a footballing philosophy and an identity on Irish football. And that's how it should be. But in terms of Wednesday night, given the amount of absentees, is it simply about getting a result in Belgrade and a positive result at that?
Yeah, I think that's really what the essence of senior international football is actually about. It's about getting results. It is a results business at that level of the game. So I do think it is about getting results. And listen, we all really want Stephen to be a success and for him to have the time to implement that new philosophy and, you know, his ideas and to get that identity into an Irish team. But I think, you know, the thing is about international football is you're often going to be robbed of your best players just because of the nature of it. It's very different to club football. So I think, you know, you have to have a tactical versatility, even though you might have your style of play and your preferred way of playing and your philosophy and the way, you know, you're right, the identity you want to bring. But I think you still have to have that capacity to be tactically diverse and to be able to eke out the results based on the teams that you're playing against, because they're one-off games. It's not like you get to play them. You know, they're so, like in international football, every point is almost double its value because there's so few games and so few opportunities to get those points on the board. And, you know, to lose a game really does create a gap. It's not like a league, you know, domestic football where there's opportunities to get the results and to get yourself back into the picture. International football doesn't really afford you that type of opportunity. So, like I said, every point is almost double in its value. And I think in international football, you do have to have that tactical diversity, even though, you know, in and around your philosophy and your style of play, to be able to get the results.
And in terms of that tactical diversity, how do you think he will set up on Wednesday night? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, look, I think we know how he wants to play. And I think, you know, we know, you know, who the best players probably are available. And again, it's all very well and good putting, you know, when you have to adapt your team and the identity of the players that are starting, you really have to go back to the basics of what are the realistic expectations of this particular player, because it does come down to what they can and their strengths and their weaknesses. So you don't want to expose their weaknesses and you want to bring out their strengths. So I think it'll be really interesting. It is difficult for Stephen. You know, again, you know, he probably has a huge amount of preparation done going into the game. And that's the nature of international football on Sunday, you know, literally 72 hours before the game is played. Everything can change completely based on who actually gets into the team hotel and is fit and available. So I think it'll be interesting to see how he adjusts and adapts. But I'd say he's probably learned to do that and learned to have that capacity and a plan B and a plan C going, you know, from his previous experiences in the last, you know, since his reign began.
Paul, what team would you like to see him go with on Wednesday night?
Wow, good question. Personally, I'd probably go Mark Travers. I'd go Seamus Coleman. I would go Shane Duffy. I would go Darragh O'Shea. I'd go Enda Stevens. I would play Matt Doherty in front of Seamus Coleman. I would play Jeff Hendrick, probably Josh Cullen, Robbie Brady, James McLean, and then your take of Robinson or Connolly up top. That's what I would personally go for. I think it's a game where you probably need to lean on as much experience as you possibly can. And I know people will probably turn around and say, well, some of those players aren't in form. But like Lisa mentioned, you just need to be able to graft out a result from somewhere. And there's players in that 11 that I've mentioned who have done that previously. Scoring goals is going to be a massive difficulty. But I think with with the likes of a Brady maybe playing in a 10, you've got somebody who can create and maybe slip in a Robinson or Conley who's got a bit of pace to run in behind. And other than that, you're looking at keeping it, you're keeping it tight and trying to keep the opposition out. And I think playing Matt Doherty in front of a Coleman makes sense for me from that point of view. So that's personally the 11 I would go with. I'm sure there's people out there who will disagree. There's probably people who will say maybe we could look at a 5 at the back and we have the personnel to suit that formation. But I personally just don't see Stephen changing to that at this time around.
And you would stick with Shane Duffy despite his troubles at Celtic?
I would. And that's probably one where I was maybe a bit iffy on. There's potential to bring in Kieran Clark, but I think when you put Clark and O'Shea together, they've never played together before as a partnership. You throw in the fact that Mark Travers is going in goal, you've got then a completely new three between your centre halves and your goalkeeper. I think you need to put players together who have an understanding of how they like to play, for that reason I would leave Duffy in beside O'Shea. I don't think we're going to have a huge amount of the ball. Some of Duffy's mistakes have been highlighted when he's been playing out of the back for Celtic. I think if he can, I guess, stick to the fundamentals, which we know he's superb at, from defending, from putting his body in the way, from being aggressive and winning headers, I think he could still be a really important player for us.
You fairly lashed through that team, but I'm still computing it. Carl, what do you reckon on Paul's choice for Wednesday night?
Yeah, it's probably the safer option, and I suppose he's gone with a bit of experience there. And look, I think for Wednesday, it's must not lose. I don't think too many people will be expecting us to go over there and win, just in the sense that we're missing so many, and Stephen's had such a poor run of bad luck. I suppose we'll be lucky to get out to the game with 11 starting players. That I suppose he'd be doing well if he can field 11 at this stage. But I suppose it's one where I'm looking at it and I'm almost thinking that would Stephen just throw in some younger players? And there's so much negativity around the camp in a sense of we're missing so many injuries, the video gate that happened before, and I suppose the seating arrangements as well, and all the COVID that we've had, I suppose, in the camp, that I'd be thinking, would some younger players like Josh Cullen, Malumbi, Jason Knight, possibly in midfield, bring some energy and probably, I suppose, a bit of an upbeat attitude towards the camp as well?
Lisa, what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously, in that team as selected by Paul, he includes both Matt Doherty and Seamus Coleman. Would you be inclined to go that route?
I think, you know, based on where we are at the moment, I think they're two players that are playing at the highest level of the game. And I think if you can get them into your team, you probably could. I think, you know, there's big question marks over James McLean and Aaron Connolly, because I know James McLean certainly hasn't played for Stoke for a number of weeks, hasn't even completed a full training session. I think he's just back straight line running. And I think Michael O'Neill, the manager, mentioned that had Stoke been playing a midweek game this week, he wouldn't have been available for it. So that for me would be a concern about whether James McLean is even fit enough to play this game. And obviously Aaron Connolly has been out as well. So I think it's interesting just to see that, like, even based on that team, there's two big question marks over two players. But yeah, certainly if you know, I think we're at a stage where if you can get both Doherty and Seamus Coleman into the team, I think you have to.
Yeah, and James, goals. People thrive on goals, players thrive on goals, managers need goals, but we simply can't get a goal at the moment.
Yeah, we can't. And as Lisa and the lads have just said, like, the amount of injuries we have at the minute, I can't see Aaron Connolly featuring at all. So as far as strikers are concerned in the squad, you've only got Callum Robinson, Shane Long, James Collins and Troy Parrott are there. I can see him going with Callum Robinson. I think James McLean won't make it, as Lisa mentioned. Like Michael did say during the week, there's just no chance he shouldn't have even been called up. He's still not fit, which may leave Stephen with an interesting debate as to who he puts over there. Does he go with Daryl Horgan to go in and give that little bit extra? He might be able to supply balls across. He could also score from midfield, Daryl Horgan. He's got a good shot on him. He also have Ronan Curtis as well. There's just so many options for him to think of where he goes. I think, as everybody said, Seamus Coleman has to be in. I think he has to go in alongside Matt Doherty as well, has to play in front of him. You have to put two players who are playing at the top level into the squad somewhere. But from up front, I think Callum Robson really is probably going to be his only option, unless he fancies putting Troy Parrott in and giving him a run out as well. But I can see him probably coming on as a sub more than anything else. But you just hope that Robinson can hit the ground running and get a couple of goals. The benefit, obviously, is, as you mentioned, is the game against Scotland when they lost to Scotland. At least we have a latest game to see how they're playing, and Stephen Wonder studied up upside down before he goes into this game.
And Lisa, just on, you know, I mentioned there the goals, and you know, a lot of people after, you know, the recent matches, you know, on social media getting very irate with the Irish international setup. Do people have to make allowances here and show a degree of patience? I mean, you said there a few moments ago, you know, football, international football is a results business. If the results aren't going for you, you're going to come under pressure. And that pressure is always heightened now in the media age in which we live, with social media being readily available for people to vent their frustrations. We have the Luxembourg game coming up on Saturday. I guess 4 points out of six would be great. But if Ireland were to lose on Wednesday night, would you be fearful of the public reaction to such an outcome?
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, as you've pointed out already, there probably is a pent-up frustration amongst Irish supporters, and I think it's probably more fueled from what's gone on behind the scenes and off the pitch. And I think it just, you know, when international results are not going the way that, you know, the fans would want, it probably gives an opportunity for the venting of those frustrations even more. But I think, you know, if Ireland could get over there and get a draw, you know, as Carl mentioned, like not lose the game, I think that would be seen as a positive result. And straight away, that changes the complexion of it. That, you know, and this is what I say, these international results buy time to embed your philosophy and to get players fit for the next game and to get to your next camp and have that positivity. So I think if you could get a result out of this game, get the draw, and then, you know, the Luxembourg game then is a different animal altogether. And that's a game where you're looking at it going, really, that could be an opportunity for Ireland to get their first points, you know, their first win under Stephen Kenny. Not to say it mightn't happen against Serbia, because Serbia, to be fair, are not, no great shakes themselves. But still, just based on where the Irish team are at in terms of the personnel that are available, I think an away point would be a massive result and then would tee everything up very nicely for Luxembourg. And I think most supporters would buy into that and would be happy with that.
OK, well, what of the opposition on Wednesday night for Stephen Kenny's Ireland against Serbia, beaten on penalties by Scotland for a place in the European Championship finals? They've lost some players that Irish football fans will be familiar with. Manchester United's Nemanja Matic has departed. So too former City defender Alexander Kolarov, and Crystal Palace midfielder Luka Milivojevic has also left the international fold. They have a new manager in Dragan Stojkovic. Football writer Lukas Vrablic tracks football in Serbia, and he's been chatting to me about Stojkovic, the new manager, and his ambitions for Serbia.
Yeah, of course, Dragan Stojkovic is a big name in Serbia, one of the best players they have had in the 90s. Like that generation of the players like Siniša Mihajlović or Savo Milošević and Stojkovic were always legends in Serbia. Stojkovic probably isn't that kind of household name here or in Western Europe, because he had a spell at Marseille, which was like wasn't really good for him due to injuries. He didn't really broke through there, but he has been a really technical player and like icon at his club at Crvena Zvezda, Red Star Belgrade. So he's a really big name in Serbia. He coached in Asia before, in Japan and China. So he hasn't been really involved in European game. But yeah, there is a big optimism, I would say, around his vision of the national team, because the basis of that is to trying to find the kind of, not the national style, because I don't really think that that's the case in 21st century, but a kind of identity that Serbia could display on the pitch. So that's the long-term vision now, to find the playing style that would suit this generation of the players, to be more disciplined tactically as well, because that's one of the things that he criticized over the last few weeks about the performances of Serbia over the last period. To try to find the right system.
And he has spoken about that vision which you referred to, and he's talking about Serbia playing an exciting brand of football. Has he got the kind of players there to deliver on that vision? Because they've obviously lost in the last few years the likes of Ivanovic, and Alexander Kolarov has departed the scene. And more recently,
Crystal Palace's Luka Milivojevic has left the international setup. So are the footballers there to implement the style that he wants to see Serbian footballers play with?
Yeah, of course. When you look at the national team squad right now, of course, Kolarov isn't involved. Nemanja Matic isn't involved. Luka Milivojevic isn't involved. Yeah, those are really experienced players. But at the same time, like Stojković seems to be trying to build the team around a couple of experienced players like Dušan Tadić or Sergej Milinković-Savić, and supplement them with some fresh blood. I think that Serbia has a really good group of players. When you compare it to other national teams in Eastern Europe or Central Europe, I think that they have a lot of potential. So I would be quite optimistic because they also won like World Cup in 2015 in the under 20 category, and some of the players like Milinković-Savić are already in the national team and can provide a kind of basis. And yeah, I think there is a lot of potential with players like that.
And Stojković is talking about Serbia potentially qualifying automatically in a group that also contains Portugal. And the first week of his regime as manager of Serbia, Ireland on Wednesday, followed by Portugal at home in Belgrade at the weekend. And then it's a trip to Azerbaijan. So in the space of a week, he'll have a fair idea whether his team is on course to qualify automatically. It's a tough start.
Yeah, it's really tough. It's just the first national team's break, international break that Stojković is having with the side. So basically, the idea is to implement a new tactical system and so on. And it's really questionable if that's possible to do in so short space of time. These games between Ireland, Serbia and Portugal could be really decisive for what will happen later on in the group. I think there is a lot of potential for losing points between each other because those are really close games. I also remember like Serbia drawing in Portugal in the recent past. So I think that Serbia is really are really able to get points also from Portugal. And with Ireland, it will be a really close game.
Do you expect Serbia to win on Wednesday?
It's hard to say. I mean, I'm really like curious about what the playing style will be like, what the formation will be like. As I saw a lot of Ireland games over the last year, Ireland had some problems with scoring, as far as I saw. But Serbia having their own problems, and I mean, with Serbia, it's really unpredictable. As I say, in Euro playoff, it was like that. Norway, they won. But against Scotland, it wasn't really good. That performance wasn't good. So they can go from excellent game to bad game. I don't really expect Serbia to lose at home in that first game. I think with the addition of the new coach, it could be a kind of mental help for them as well. So I don't expect them to lose against Ireland at home. It could be different in Ireland.
And that's the view on Serbia from football writer Lukas Vrablic. So in brief, guys, we'll get a quick round the table prediction on Ireland-Serbia in Belgrade on Wednesday. Paul, how do you think it's going to go?
I'm normally very upbeat and positive, but I think we're going to be beaten, Adrian.
Yeah, I'm a bit fearful, to be honest. Carl?
Look, Serbia are no great shakes. As Lisa said, they've recently lost to Scotland. And while normally I'd be very, I suppose, positive and hoping for a win, I think a draw would be a great result. And I think we'll just get a draw.
James, win, lose or draw?
I'm going for a draw as well. I think, as I said, the Scotland game is something that Stephen can work on and look around. So I think you'll have them well laid out. I think it will be a draw. And I can unfortunately see us going another game without scoring a goal, though.
Okay, so 0-0, you're giving us a score, great stuff. So that's two draws. Myself and Paul reckon it could be a defeat. So Lisa, you have the casting vote here.
I'm going to go for a draw, and I think it would be a really good result. And if it came at the cost of us not scoring a goal, I would absolutely take it. And then, please God, the goals would come against Luxembourg.
All right, listen, the First Division season starts. Galway United gearing up. Lisa, how have things been going over the last couple of weeks? Are you all set for the first night of the season?
Yeah, it's great to finally be in match week. It's been fantastic. You know, a lot of work has gone on. Obviously, players have been brilliant. They've worked really hard. You know, and once we got over that first batch of weeks of training with no games, once you had the games and the friendly games, it actually seems to have gone really quickly. So, yeah, look, I mean, everybody's in good form. Big game at the weekend and, you know, the first game of the season. And, you know, there's great positivity around. And yeah, everybody's just raring to go.
Are you confident about the season ahead? Because that's a mouth-watering tie to start the season, home to Shelburne. A lot of people talking about Galway or Shelburne being promoted.
Yeah, look, I think it's probably going to be the most competitive we've ever seen the First Division. You know, you look at the quality in the Shelburne team. I mean, they're arguably stronger than they were last year in the Premier Division. You know, with the recruitment that they've done, you know, a lot of those players are Premier Division players. So they are going to be, you know, the favourites, the strong favourites, and rightfully so. But like, you look at Cork City are a brilliant team. They're, you know, they're much stronger than they were last year. Again, they've recruited really well, and Cork City are a team that are used to being in the Premier Division. So, you know, I think Shells and Cork City probably are going to be, you know, the two main favourites. Obviously, people will talk about ourselves, and we want to make sure that we're in contention, and that's what we're aiming for. But Athlone have recruited really well. Treaty looked really good at the weekend when they played Athlone. You know, it's a Bray, you never, like, you're Bray of UCD. These teams are always strong. And like, you know, Cabinteely had a great run last year. So it's going to be really competitive, and, you know, it's going to be one where you'll never be able to take any game lightly. I think, you know, it's certainly going to be a season where we'll see lots of ebbs and flows. And if the results in the Premier Division are anything to go by last weekend, I think everyone knows that, you know, you're going to have to hit the ground running and really be in top form for every game.
And Shep, what are you expecting off your old team, Cork City, starting, of course, with a big derby game against Cove Ramblers at the weekend?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks, Lisa, for saying that Shells are better this year than last year, now that I've moved on.
Well, you were injured, Shep, so I wasn't including you. If you'd been in there now, it would have been a different story altogether.
Yeah, but no, look, I think Cork have recruited well, as Lisa said. It's going to be, and so have Cove. Cove have gone into the Munster Senior League, and it's a league that I know well. They've pulled the best players out of that league and put them into their team. So we've had some smashing games on the first week. You have the Munster Derby, well, the Cork Derby with Cork City against Cove, and it's going to be a cracking game. I do think Cork will probably win it, as Colin Healy will have them very fit and strong. And just looking at some of the games they had in pre-season, they look well-tuned. And you have the likes of Stephen Beattie in there, Garrod Morrissey and Mark McNulty. These are league winners of the Premier Division. So I do think they'll probably be too strong for Cove on the weekend.
Yeah. In terms of the First Division fixtures of the weekend, as mentioned, it's Cork City against Cove Ramblers, Galway United against Shelburne, UCD against Athlone Town, Wexford against Cabinteely. All those games on Friday night. And then on Sunday, it's Bray Wanderers against Treaty United. That game kicks off at the Carlisle Grounds at 3:00. James, what are you expecting from the First Division?
I'm expecting a very competitive season right the way to the end, like we got last season. It's great that the fixture gods have thrown up some cracking toys on the very first day of the season. It's really good. As Shep's already mentioned, that Cork v Cove game should be a cracker. Lisa's game, Galway versus Shelburne, is going to be an absolutely smashing game of football. And it'll tell us where, straight off the bat, where these two clubs are at as far as pushing for a title. Wexford versus Cabinteely as well, another good fixture. Bray obviously taking on Treaty United for their first game in senior football. So I think it's going to be a very, very competitive league. I think the teams have recruited really, really well. And if it's anything like last season, we go down to the last game of the season with seven teams trying to get promotion, it'll be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, and Paul, great to see a Limerick outfit back in football in the shape of Treaty United.
Yeah, it is. And it's actually the one place I never played was Limerick. But, you know, I've always produced players from that neck of the woods and have always had a, you know, a strong following. So it's good that we have participation from that part of the country. You know, the spread is always important, and it seems to be a strong spread in the First Division. But hopefully they can put together, you know, their squad is strong enough that they can compete, because I always think that, you know, we do need to see a bit of, I guess, diversification away from Dublin, and the more kind of touch points you have around the country, the better.
Okay, and of course the Women's National League starts, as indeed does the First Division, and all the matches will be available on LOI TV. Lisa, just get your thoughts on the start of the Women's National League, and obviously Piemont will start as favourites after winning the double last year, but they have a fairly stiff opener on Saturday afternoon, a 4 o'clock kickoff. They're away to Wexford Youths. That should be a juicy match.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, the one thing about going into the season as the double champions is everyone's going to be, you know, want to put down a marker straight away. And Wexford have had so much success over the last few years. And, you know, they still have some really good quality players. And, you know, I think it is going to be a big challenge for Piemont to retain both their titles this year. But Piemont are a very good, strong team, a lot of experience, and they've got really genuine depth. James O'Callaghan, I think, has recruited really well over the last couple of years. He's built a really good team, and he's, you know, you can really see the culture and the philosophy of that team. And, you know, there's just so much quality. And the biggest thing they had, the biggest advantage I think they had this, you know, last season was the depth they had in the squad and the experience, and that they were able to rotate the squad. And, you know, that'll be something that they'll need to do again this year. But I think, in fairness to Shelburne, obviously Noel King has gone back in there as the manager, and, you know, I think Kinger, in fairness to him, has recruited really well. And I think Shells will have much more depth this year than they did last year, and a lot of quality. And, you know, they've brought up Saoirse Noonan has joined them from Cork City. She's a huge loss to Cork City. But again, it's a big move for her to go to Shelburne, and she's going to be, you know, much more competition to get into the team. So that move probably brings her on as a player as well. But you can't rule out Galway women either. Galway have been, you know, just touch and base in around the third, fourth kind of position of the table. And I expect that Galway will have a say in it this year as well. Dave Bell, I know, the former Shelburne manager, he's joined the coaching staff at Galway women's team. So, listen, I think just like both divisions in the men's, in the Premier Division and the First Division, I think the Women's National League, I think we're in for a belter of a season this year. And I'm really genuinely looking forward to it.
Great. OK, well, the fixtures, just to run through them at the weekend, all the matches taking place on Saturday afternoon. Bowes against Treaty United gets things underway at 2 o'clock. Galway against Cork City has a 4 o'clock kickoff, as indeed does the match between Athlone Town and Shelburne, and also Wexford Youths against Piemont United. And in terms of the Premier Division, this coming weekend, on Friday night, Dundalk and Finn Harps get the weekend proceedings underway. A 5.45 kickoff at Oriel Park. Waterford against Sligo Rovers at 7.45. That's live on RTE2 television and also available on Watch LOI. Of course, all the Premier Division matches currently available on Watch LOI. So log on there and get your subscription sorted. Bowes against Longford Town takes place on Saturday afternoon with a 4 o'clock kickoff, and Pats against Drogheda United kicks off at 4 o'clock as well at Richmond Park in Inchicore. But no game for Derry or Shamrock Rovers this weekend, James. That game put off until the 13th of April.
Yeah, I suppose it shows a good thing, because it's down to international call-ups this time instead of COVID like it was last season. So it's always good that the league is producing players that can either go into senior international setups or into under 21 setups, which is a bonus for the entire league and not just the clubs involved.
All right, listen, we leave it there, folks. Many thanks for joining us on the line. Thanks to Paul Curry, Lisa Fallon, Carl Shepherd, and to James as well. Best of luck to the Irish team in Serbia on Wednesday. Until the next time, bye-bye from all of us.